And the first item on our agenda will be discussion of an appointment to the EQ board. We have two applications. Members should have received a draft ordinance from the secretary. It's 21-000, and at this point I would entertain a motion to put that on the table for discussion.
So moved, Mr. Pearson.
I have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
All right, the chair seconds. Thank you, Justice Knight. I have a motion and a second, so we will move forward with discussion for this county resolution. On the EQ board, we have two applicants, and I figured we would just discuss amongst ourselves the two applications, and we can send both to the court, or we can pick one of them and send them to the court. So at this point, I open discussion up to members of the committee.
I've got a question for Mr. Murphy.
Yes, is Justice Kendrick?
Yes. Mr. Murphy, based on some of the past discussion with previous EQ appointment discussions, what does state law say regarding the qualifications or appointments for the individuals applying based upon the position that they hold with their job?
So there's a specific, or really two different statutes in regards to the qualifications of the members of the EQ board. One is that they have to have owned property in Faulkner County for at least 1 year. Two, they have to be registered to vote. And then there's the third issue, which falls under 26-27-304, which is in the regard to the selection of the members of the EQ board. And in that particular statute, basically states that the quorum court of each county can appoint two different members to the EQ board, and that the statute reads that the quorum court shall appoint a licensed real estate appraiser to at least one of these two positions. But if a licensed real estate appraiser is not available or willing to serve, the county quorum court may appoint a licensed real estate broker. If a licensed real estate broker is not available or willing to serve, the county quorum court may appoint a licensed real estate salesperson. And if a licensed real estate salesperson is not available or willing to serve, the county quorum court may appoint any qualified elector of the county. Finally, as we've discussed previously, the five members shall be selected from different sections of the county. So those are the qualifications of the EQ board.
Okay. Thank you. Just a recap of that. So based upon what you just told us there, a real estate appraiser, which is one of the individuals that applied, would be ranked higher in prioritization than a real estate agent.
That's
or
correct.
Salesperson. Thank you.
Any other discussion from the committee?
Yes, I have another question.
Yes, Justice Boyer.
Do we currently have a real estate appraiser on the EQ board?
I believe we have several real estate appraisers on the EQ board. No. Miss Deer is here to correct me. So please let Miss Deer, who is a member of the EQ board, answer that question then.
Actually, I'm the chairman this year, and no, we do not have an appraiser. We have two real estate brokers, and then the other two members are from the community. So we do not have one.
Thank you, Miss Deer.
Any other discussion from the committee? Hearing none, I'll open it up to other members of the quorum court next.
Justice Pearson, this is Rose Rowland, if no one else has spoke up.
Go ahead, Justice Rowland.
Can you hear me? Okay, thank you. I just want to speak in favor of Mr. Baker, Kent Baker. He's a local businessman. Him and his wife and his grown children are all pillars of our community. I don't know this other individual, but I just think that Kent Baker would absolutely be awesome on the EQ board. So that was just my two cents. I appreciate you letting us open up to members that are of the committee to speak, not of the committee, of the quorum court. Thank you.
Thank you for your contribution. Any other members of the quorum court?
Justice Pearson, this is Justice Strain. I'd like to ask a question, if I may.
Go ahead, please, Justice Strain.
Yeah, I was curious, how does the quorum court or how does the county go about notifying the community of these openings on the board?
I will leave that to someone from the executive branch to answer.
I believe the question was how the community is notified about the open positions on the board, and I believe this particular position has been advertised on the website for the last 8 months almost, if not more, and that's been the way that the community's been noticed, as well as I believe Ms. Lewis and perhaps those of the EQ board have reached out, and I know Judge Baker has as well, but reached out to individuals within the appraisal community to seek people that would be willing to serve in this capacity.
Thank you for that.
Ms. Deere also has a comment, if you may.
Yeah, I'll open it up to the public in just a minute, and she can add her comment to that then. Anybody else from the court?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I was going to ask the counselor if, in the law you discussed, does the appraiser hire, does it matter more than the location spread about the county? According to the law, are those two equal footing? Or?
To answer Justice, or first of all, for those that may not have heard, Justice Allison asked if the issue of location and the job title as far as appraiser or realtor were equal. And I think that would be difficult to answer as far as the equality. They're both separate subsections. The one thing that I would say is there is a mandatory issue in regards to the quorum court choosing an appraiser. And so because of that, I would say it's probably not equal, because the subsection relating to the location of the individual is regarded to the entire board itself. So I would tell you, I think the quorum court has a stronger duty to look to an appraiser as opposed to a realtor, whereas perhaps maybe a school district or the city's municipalities have a little more flexibility to try and look or balance out the geographic issue.
Is that all, Justice Allison?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else from the court? I'm going to move on to the candidates themselves. Hearing no one from the court, if either of the candidates Mr. Baker, are you in attendance and would you like to speak? If you do not like to speak, that is certainly fine. But if you are, please approach the microphone.
I'm here, and I just about the only thing I can say is that I thought I might be a great assistance
would
on the equalization board.
Microphone, please, for us, sir?
Okay, can you not hear me?
I tell you what, Mr. Kendricks, I'll let you.
Okay. Yes, I'm here in attendance, and I basically just felt like that I could be a great assistance to the Equalization Board. I've been a real estate business for 40 years. I broke for 10 years from 1980 to 1990, and I've been a full-time appraiser for the last 30 years, going on 31 years here in Fulton County. So anyway, I just thought I might be of assistance to the board, and would be honored to serve on it. So that's basically about all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. At this time, if Mr. Fowlkes is in the room, if you'd like to speak, feel free to approach the microphone. You do not have to.
I do not believe he's here, Mr. Pearson.
Okay. Thank you, Counselor. At this time, I'll open it up to members of the general public, and I would like to, since I'm not in the room and can't see the public, I will delegate to the counselor to choose just one at a time whoever would like to speak first.
Is
there anybody? Miss Deere, yes, absolutely.
I just wanted to say really quickly, when you were talking about how we've gotten the word out, the Faulkner County Board of Realtors consists of over 320 real estate agents within the county, and we have pushed it out over the last at least 4 weeks, not only at our meetings that we've had, we also had our continuing education class a week ago, and it was announced there was 150 of us there. We have a meeting, of course, tomorrow. But it has been pushed out that way. So all of the real estate agents and within the county, whether they're principal brokers, executive brokers, or just sales agents, have been informed about this opening. And I just want to say, too, that it is very critical for us. I've been a part of the Equalization Board. I think I'm going on my 13th year. And an appraiser is very, very important to us. As a real estate broker, I've held my principal broker's license, so has Glenda Mudgett, who's also appointed by the Quorum Court. But an appraiser really, really does help us. Especially on the commercial side, I don't do quite as much in commercial sales. Glenda does a little bit more than I do, but an appraiser is a huge asset. And that's why the state basically has put that in conjunction for that. So I highly recommend that we follow the state guidelines and that Mr. Baker can be appointed.
Thank you, Mrs. Deere. Anybody else?
I have a question, please.
Please go ahead. Well, the committee could forward, to my knowledge, could forward both to the full court, but there is only one opening. That's correct.
I understand. Thank you.
And can I add to that? It rotates. So the opening was last year that they should have been appointed. The Quorum Court is the only one that can appoint two members to the Equalization Board. The schools throughout the county appoints a member. The mayors throughout the county appoints a member.
And the county judge.
And the county judge appoints a member. So that's our five members. So the Quorum Court gets two selections, and then the other three come from the other areas. So the Quorum Court, it will rotate. Actually, last year at this time, they were to appoint someone. They left that vacant. So that's what they're doing now. And I think that next year, then there will be another appointment. We're appointed for a three-year term.
Does still mean there's only one opening at the moment,
right.
And it is last year's position.
Yeah.
And also to clarify,
this person, too, only gets to serve for 2 years.
That's right. So just
because
as
you left an opening last year.
Just as Ms. Deere stated, this would be the remainder of the 3-year appointment that would have begun last year. So this appointee will have 2 years.
Okay, any other comments from the public? Counselor, how's the room look?
I think everyone's asked a question that wanted to ask a question.
Okay, what's the pleasure of the committee on this ordinance?
Mr. Chair.
Justice Poyer, please go ahead.
Would you accept the motion to advance Mr. Baker to the full court?
I would accept a motion to amend the ordinance on the table to include Mr. Baker's name. And then I would entertain a motion to advance that ordinance to the full court. First, we need to write a name in there. So would you like to make a motion to introduce Mr. Baker, or to amend the ordinance that is on the table to include Mr. Baker's name?
I guess I'm not understanding what you're saying.
I think what Mr. Pearson is saying, that there's a current, I believe it's a resolution that has a blank. And so rather than just submitting a resolution that has a blank, that we amend the blank to include Mr. Baker's name in it.
That's correct, yep.
I would move then that we amend the resolution to include Mr. Baker's name.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 The chair votes aye, and I believe the ayes have it. So Mr. Baker's name is added to the resolution. At this point, I would entertain the motion to advance this to the full court.
I would, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would make a motion to advance Mr. Baker's name only to the full court.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 The motion does pass. So resolution 21 dash whatever the number will be advanced to the full court. At this point, the other item on our agenda are raises for county employees. I know there's been a few emails from the court secretary about this. And apologies if this has been confusing, but all of these should be in one ordinance, which you should have before you. I think it's 21-16, and at this point I would entertain a motion to move this to the table for discussion.
So moved.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yep. Can we repeat that, Justice Pearson? We were getting an amended packet here with the correct ordinance, so several of us weren't following along.
Okay. Well, if you have the correct ordinance in front of you, it should be 21-16. This is an ordinance to discuss reclassification of one position and raises for several other positions. According to state statute or county ordinance, departments are to submit raise requests in the May or September court meetings, so it starts with personnel, so it comes to us. Per Justice Boyer's request earlier in the year, I did notify all department heads about this ordinance, and these are the requests that this committee has received. So at this point, I'm entertaining a motion to move Ordinance 21-16 to the table for discussion, and we have a motion, and I'm waiting on a second.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. We will start with Section 1 through Section 12 is the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office, and I would open it up to a representative from the Sheriff's Office who would like to speak on these sections. If there is anyone present, please come to the microphone. Anybody?
Yes, Justice Pearson, we're just getting microphones straightened.
Thank you, Counselor.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Sheriff Riles and committee members. We sure appreciate the opportunity to be able to come before y'all and speak of a desire and actually a crucial need that is needed within the Faulkner County Sheriff's Department. You know, I'm here to speak on behalf of our dispatch, and I'm just going to tell you a little bit about our dispatch. And then after that, I'm going to, if you will allow it, I would like for Angie to come up. She can answer any of the questions, the technical questions on the funding and what we can see with y'all's assistance to be able to accomplish this. But I'm here to kind of represent the Sheriff's Department and to tell you guys the importance of the situation we're finding ourselves in with our dispatch center here at Faulkner County. You know, what dispatch does is a crucial area of the Faulkner County Sheriff's Department. It plays a role between the victims out in the county, which are every day, and the officers being able to assist those victims in whatever that need may be. You know, at best, we have two or three dispatchers that are working at the Faulkner County Dispatch Center at any given time within our department.
On average, we take over somewhere between, and I give these stats out monthly at these meetings that are actually our full court meetings. And on average, our dispatch, our emergency calls, and our phone calls, everything that they take, run over 2,500 phone calls that we take at dispatch, or an average of that thereabouts, 23 to 2,500 within our dispatch. Keeping in mind, at any given time, there's two to three dispatchers that are actually working at that time. Our dispatchers handle calls not only what we receive on our 911, but whenever our fire departments call us, that's another arena. And so some of the things that a dispatcher responds to, and some of the areas that a dispatcher responds to, are these. Not only just me and a chief and our administration on the radio, but they dispatch all of our deputies. They dispatch our CID, our transport, six other law enforcement agencies in the county, to include 17 fire departments, emergency squad, the Arkansas State Police, the Arkansas Highway Police, park rangers, game and fish, probation and parole, and this list goes on and on. A role of a dispatcher is so crucial of our needs, and I want to pause right here for just a second and tell you and give you a quick story and an example of why our dispatchers are so crucial. After being elected, the first day of coming in, January the 1st, was of, I don't even remember what year it was now, 2016. I was just checked 10-8 in my car, and sure enough, dispatch had put out a call of a person who had just killed his mother in Guy, had shot his father, and was in the process of reloading and going into the house in order to kill the children, the grandchildren of these people. One of our deputies was able to get there in time enough to intercept them. But during that conflict, what our dispatchers did is not only answering the call, getting all the units headed in that direction, getting everybody notified that needed to be notified, but another thing that they also accomplished was they kept the little boy, the two children, on the telephone, on a cell phone, directed them through the house, directed them into a closet to hide from this uncle of theirs who was going back in there to kill them. Our dispatchers, and after that call happened, the officer that intervened in that got a life-saving award. In hindsight, looking back, there should have been a deputy and a couple of dispatchers that got life-saving awards. This is just one occurrence that I'm explaining to you about the crucial responsibilities of what a dispatcher does on a day-to-day, day in, day out. And it's not just that. It's also resuscitating people who are on the phone that says, my husband has passed out and he's not breathing. They guide them through the process of CPR. So they're very educated, they're very well trained, and it takes up to 6 months to get a dispatcher trained. And depending on where that dispatcher comes from and how quick to learn, it can take from 6 months to a year to get one to where you can totally release them and you feel comfortable and confident that they can handle everything that's there. That's a big task. That's a big task for anybody. On March the 9th, Conway PD, who is in the same building, dispatchers are in the same building, they have anywhere from 5 to 6 dispatchers at any given time. where we have our 2 to 3, occasionally 4, maybe with a supervisor, dispatchers. But they were able to provide a significant pay increase to their dispatchers. And when I say significant, it was significant for them. And it was well deserved and well needed. And they had a reason why they did this. The reason they did this was because dispatchers was leaving them left and right. It was a complete revolving door over there. And so they were going to other agencies and finding work. Well, now that this retention by a pay increase has happened with Conway PD, we find ourselves now in that same scenario. We do have one that used to work with us that now works with Conway PD. And I'm fearful of losing our dispatchers. And I think when Angie starts telling you about some of the numbers and the comparisons of where we are compared to other Class 6 counties and surrounding counties within our state, you're going to see how significant it is, how at the very bottom rail of our pay scales in other counties compared to ours, we're at the very bottom. And this problem is, it's not only just dispatch, it's our law enforcement community in Faulkner County across the board. And so, with that said, I'm going to turn this over to Jen. I know people's going to have questions, but she's got the numbers, what we're looking for, and I think, not for Jen, with Angie, and I think she'll be able to answer any questions that you have from herself or myself here forward. Angie.
Thank you, Sheriff. When I submitted the request to the Quorum Court to County Clerk Margaret Darter and to Justice Pearson, I also completed a salary survey based on the Class 6 counties and used the data from the 2020 Association of Arkansas Counties salary survey.
Can you get closer to the mic?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me now? Okay.
I can hear you if I listen.
Okay. But I used the data from the 2020 salary survey done by the Association of Arkansas Counties. And then I also pulled the data for surrounding counties, so counties that touched our county, and then also for the city of Conway. And I submitted that. I don't know if that was passed on to the committee members, but I do have that data, and I can go through it if you would like. But I'll just give you a synopsis, and then if you want every individual one, I would be more than happy to tell you. Our request for our dispatch supervisor, they are currently paid $36,343.84, and we're requesting that she makes, as a new salary, $39,331.64, which is an increase of $2,987.80. That's based on the Class 6 County salary survey. And what I did was look at the Class 6 counties, which are Craighead, Jefferson, Faulkner, Garland, Saline, Sebastian, and White County, and used the AAC salary survey. I'm not sure why, but Craighead and Jefferson County does not have data for dispatch positions within the salary survey, so I'm assuming based on that they're contracted labor or something to that effect, because they actually pull the data out of the budget books in all the counties. So Faulkner County, I already stated what our current salary is. I use the 2021 salary, not our 2020 salary, because we did receive that 1% cost of living raise in the new year. So Garland County is paid $41,088. Saline County, I use a maximum and a minimum because they actually have two leaves. And so the minimum pay is $39,199. Their maximum pay is $43,424. Sebastian County's is $38,201, and then White County is $37,734. And so when you average all of the salaries together, it's an average of $39,331.64, which is what we're asking to increase our salary to, is the average based on the 2020 salary survey. And we would love to request to be paid, our dispatch supervisor to be paid the maximum out of all the Class 6 counties, the highest level. If we did so, if we did it at the maximum, it would be the $43,424, which is one of the Saline County salaries. But it would put that dispatch supervisor within, I think, $400, $500 of their next direct supervisor. So a lot of our salary surveys, we're running into that. We definitely believe that our dispatch supervisor should be making well above the $39,000 that we're requesting, not only based on the salary survey, but also based on the surrounding counties that touch us, and then the dispatch supervisor from Conway Police Department. Conway Police Department just raised their dispatch supervisor's salary to $56,160. And she does the same exact, or they do, I'm not sure if it's a man or a woman, they do the exact same job as our dispatch supervisor in the same exact building.
With more people.
With more people. And so that's Conway. Then you have Cleburne County that has a range between $25,670 and their maximum was $37,109. But Cleburne County is a lot smaller than us as well. Conway County is $44,230. Lone Oak County is $40,172. Perry County is $24,500. And Pulaski County is $41,321. And then Van Buren County had no data listed. So an average of the surrounding counties and Conway PD, for just comparison purposes, because based on what the quorum court has requested from us previously, it was based on salary surveys that we present requests for raises. So this is just for comparable purposes. The average of them would be $38,451.71. So it's still within that range for this request, even based on data that's just surrounding us. If you just look at Conway PD versus Faulkner County Dispatch Supervisor, like I said before, Conway PD is $56,160. Our current is $36,343.84. So the salary difference as of today, current today pay salary, is $19,816.16. This is needed. And we are not even asking for what it really should be. We're asking for what we believe is reasonable based on the salary survey. And that's just our dispatch supervisor. We also have an assistant dispatch supervisor that is currently paid as a dispatcher. Her position title is dispatcher. We're asking that her position title be changed to the assistant dispatch supervisor. She's been taking this leave for quite some time and steps in anytime our dispatch supervisor is not available or not on staff. She has been handling this role without the pay, and we are wanting to give her the pay raise that she needs based on the duties that she has been doing and will continue to do so. We did the same salary survey basis. I'm not going to go through one by one unless y'all want me to again. But the salary survey shows that the average of the Class 6 counties, including ourselves, would be $34,968.77. Our current salary is $31,091.84. That would be a salary increase of $3,876.93 for her position. The assistant dispatch supervisor with Conway Police Department was just raised in March to $52,520. That's a difference between the two of $21,428.16. And then we have our dispatch positions. We have five dispatchers that are paid out of County General, two that are paid out of Criminal Justice Fund, and then two that are paid out of the 911 PSAP Fund, and we're asking for all of those. So So that would be 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 dispatcher positions. We're asking for all of them to be raised from their current, which they're all paid the same exact rate, regardless of what fund they're in, to the new salary. So their current salary is $31,091.84. The salary survey based on the class 6 counties said that the average should be $33,221.43. So that's an increase of $2,129.59. And that's based on the class 6 county salary survey. But if you look at the city of Conway, they actually set up a pay range based on qualifications, and we don't have that here currently. We don't have like a step range, but they did set that up for their dispatchers, and so their minimum at their new salary after their pay raises was $35,360, and their maximum was $43,680. So what I did to do the comparable between the two is I took those two, the minimum and maximum of Conway, and averaged them. So an average pay scale for the city of Conway for a dispatcher is $39,520. So if you take that average for Conway and take off what ours is, which is $31,091.84, there's a difference of $8,428.16. So that's the data that I gathered. I have, like I said, I have this salary survey that I'll be happy to email out to any committee members and any audience members, anyone that would like it. Just let me know. And then I also have a copy of the city ordinance that was passed on March 9th that shows what their pay raises were. And then we also submitted, but I'm not sure if it was passed along to all the members of the committee, but we did create, and the sheriff did approve, an assistant dispatch supervisor job description. So that way it is on file, because currently we do have a job description for dispatcher and for dispatch supervisor, but there wasn't one for assistant dispatch supervisor. So we created the job description, and he has approved it. So that's in place as well. I have looked at the funding, and currently criminal justice, from my understanding, does have enough available funding to appropriate the money needed for the two dispatch positions. I believe, and Sheila can let me know if I'm wrong, but I believe that there's enough money as well to appropriate the money in the 911 PSAP fund. And depending on how Quorum Court wants to handle it, I believe that the money is there somewhere in County General, and the need is obvious. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you, Sheriff Riles and Ms. Woolley, for your comment. So just the question has been raised if documents were sent out to the rest of the committee, and I just want to note that anything that was sent to me was packaged, put together into an email, and sent to the court secretary Friday morning, and there were some hang-ups getting some of that stuff out to court members, my understanding, but I think by yesterday everything had been sent out. So, yes, everything that you gave us was distributed to Quorum Court members. So at this point, I will open up the discussion to members of the committee for the sheriff's office. Hearing none from the committee, I will open it up to other members of the Quorum Court who may be in attendance that may like to ask a question.
Mr. Pearson, this is Pickett.
Yes. Hey, you're on this committee. You go right ahead.
I have a number of difficulties with Ms. Woolley's calculations, and we can't address my complaints tonight. So I propose that section in proposed ordinance 21-16, sections 1 through 12 be tabled until next month, which will give me time to work things out with Ms. Woolley.
Okay, would you like to make any more comment on that? Maybe give the committee a little bit of insight as to what your concerns might be, or would you just like to move forward?
Well, briefly, she uses a 2020 survey, and 2021 is available.
There is not a 2021
AAC.
Miss Willie,
it's out now.
Floor,
it's out now. Just a second, folks. Justice Pickett has the floor.
Yeah. And when she's done her 2020 salary survey, she includes Faulkner County, and you don't include the item that you're interested in the salary survey to calculate the average. So those
okay.
Those are the two most important things. I have okay. a couple of others that are arithmetic problems, but we don't need to discuss that tonight.
Okay. So we do have a motion on the floor. Let me see about how this is ordered. So the motion is to table sections 1 through 12. I'm not sure if we can table individual sections or if we have to table the whole thing. Counselor, would you weigh in on that for me?
As far as the ordinance is concerned, yes, if sections 1 through 12 are put off to another month, then obviously we can't pass just sections 12 or 13, 14, and 15. However, I don't know if that means that Justice Pickett is still amenable to discussing the remaining items or the remaining sections items. I think that would that's up to him to decide.
Okay. Thank you, Counselor. And I will also just note for the committee that though county ordinance says that these be submitted to this committee in May, we do not have to send this to the full court in May. We can do so at any time, just so the committee is aware of that. Any other discussion on Justice Pickett's motion?
Justice Pearson, I think I've got a suggestion that might help out Justice Pickett here, and it's actually something I would, if he would withdraw his motion, I'll make an amendment to 2116, and my amendment would be that we split 2116 by department into four separate ordinances that can be considered and voted on and discussed separately. Basically, one for the sheriff's office, one for OEM, one for the circuit clerk, and one for the county clerk. I think that would be the cleanest way to discuss it and vote on it and in committee and move forward to either budget and finance or the full court. But we currently have a motion on the table.
So, okay, any other discussion on this motion?
I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Okay,
Mr. Pearson.
Counselor, can we split it into four ordinances?
Just a moment. I'm going to give the floor to Justice Pickett.
Okay. I'll defer to you.
Okay. Okay, Justice Pearson, Justice Pickett has deferred to me, and I've actually got a draft of the four ordinances here that I'll hand to Mr. Murphy, but I'm going to make a motion to amend Proposed Ordinance 2116 to split it into four separate ordinances, one for the sheriff's office, one for OEM, one for the circuit clerk, and one for the county clerk.
Okay, we have a motion on the table. Any, excuse me, do I have a second for the motion? Okay, hearing none, the motion dies for a lack of a second. The floor is open for discussion on Ordinance 2116. And there are no motions on the table. So, Justice Pickett, you withdrew your original motion. The idea Justice Kendrick introduced did not move forward. Would you like to reintroduce any other motions or just continue with the discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to defer until we can go through the other sections in the proposed ordinance to see how they play out, and then I may have a motion at the
fair enough.
Later time.
Any other discussion on from the committee on sections 1 through 12?
Justice Pearson, I've got a question. What is the intent of the committee? Is the intent of the committee to forward these to Budget and Finance Committee for vetting, or is it to forward it to the full court?
If you're, go ahead, whoever was speaking.
It's got to go to budget.
Yes, my understanding is that it needs to go to budget and finance next, but it will be the pleasure of the committee to decide.
Thank you.
Okay, hearing no further discussion from the committee on sections 1 through 12, I will open this up to other members of the court real quick, and then we're going to move on to the next few sections. I'll open it up to the general public at the very end. Anybody else from the court want to speak on sections 1 through 12? Okay, hearing no other comments or questions on sections 1 through 12, Sheriff Riles, Ms. Woolley, thank you very much for your time. And we are going to move on to sections 13 through 17, which are for OEM. And if there is a representative from OEM that would like to speak, I'll invite them to do so at this time. Who's in the room?
We're just shuffling seats, so...
Very well.
Is this on? Can you hear me, Tyler?
If you could make sure that microphone is on, and then just you know, just state your name and position, and you can address the committee.
Okay, this is Sheila Ballot with the Office of Emergency Management. I'm the director there. And I would like to see about increasing some of my positions in my office to reflect the work that they're doing. I have sent out some information to the committee. I'm not sure if everyone's received it or not. But basically, to make a long story short, the county has always contracted out GIS service. And GIS service consists of a lot of different aspects from... I did send out a list of the schedule of service, and I don't want to go through all of them unless y'all like for me to. But for the history of GIS service, I started at OEM in 08. We didn't have GIS. We started GIS mapping, which made things for emergency response things a lot easier. We've always contracted that out. Last year, we contracted, the contract amount was $31,000 annually. To have an outside person come in and do this scope of work that's done for GIS mapping. In December of this past year, our GIS person, we actually contracted the city of Conway's GIS person, so we would have the city and the counties being the same. He left the city of Conway, and basically we were without GIS mapping up until current today. My office and my dedicated employees in my office took it upon themselves to learn GIS mapping in November and December, anticipating we would be without. And I feel like I can continue to do the GIS mapping in our office for less money, save the county money, than what we're contracting it out. I did supply the committee with the other Class 6 counties on GIS mapping, Garland County, Craighead County, Jefferson, Saline, Sebastian, and White. I will say that the least amount that is being charged is in Craighead County, and that's $42,000 annually. Those numbers run from $42,000 all the way up to $78,000 annually to contract or have a dedicated GIS person. I've got a very good group of people right now. We're actually working with four people instead of five, and I feel like that we could continue to do this job and save the county money by doing it in-house. So that would be the reason for my request.
Thank you, Director Ballot. Any questions for the director from the committee? Okay, hearing nothing from the committee yet, I will open it up to other members of the quorum court that may want to ask any questions.
Mr. Pearson, I'm late again.
Well, you're still a part of this court too, so go ahead.
I'm not able to find a salary survey that supports the OEM proposed raises. And until those are available, I would move that section 13 through 17 be tabled until the next personnel meeting.
Would you like to make that a formal motion, or would you like to wait until we get through the discussion on the other sections?
I'll defer to you, Mr. Pearson.
Well, if it's all right with you, let's just wait and see what we're going to do with all this at the end.
If I can make a comment on that, Justice Pearson.
Who is that?
Sheila, I'm sorry. Sheila?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, Justice Pickett, I also looked for a salary survey and was not able to find any. So I did take the time to individually call each one of these counties to find out what they were paying for their GIS personnel. Thank you, Mr. Pearson.
Thank you. Any other questions from anybody on the quorum court, committee or non?
Hey, Justice Pearson, this is Justice Allison.
Please.
Yes, Director Bull, I just wanted to say I appreciate and I commend you and your staff for taking the initiative to step up and do this duty. And from what I can see from your figures, correct me if I'm wrong, but it says that we spent $31,000 a year on these services that you are now asking for approximately $20,000 in salaries to accommodate.
Correct. Yes.
That sounds like a good deal to me, but I especially appreciate in this day and age when I don't see much initiative on the part of employees in any industry where you stepped up and you did what was necessary, what was needed, and made it happen without even asking for compensation at the time. And one thing I would like to say, I don't know, it may be covered in here and I haven't seen it yet, but would the job descriptions be amended to include these GIS services so in the future if any of your employees that were receiving this compensation, the salaries up to cover that it would be included in their required duties for their replacements?
It would be, and we've actually already added those to their job descriptions. And thank you. We appreciate
much.
That.
Thank you, Justice Allison. Anybody else? Okay, hearing no other discussion, thank you, Ms. Blatt, for your time. And if you want to hang around, we're going to wrap this up at the end. At this point, I will invite, so for Section 18, I believe, will be Crystal Taylor's department. Crystal, are you on Zoom or in the room?
She's in the room and making her way to the front.
Thank you.
Hello, Justice Pearson. Thank you so much.
If you would just state your name. I know everybody
Crystal
knows,
Taylor.
But let's just have it on the record.
All right. Crystal Taylor, Faulkner County Circuit Clerk.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. We are presenting today a request to increase the position salary of our chief deputy. Position 1005. Oh, I'm sorry. Position... I don't think it's on there, increase. Position 1300. This is in our county recorder's cost fund. So this is not in county general. This is through revenue brought in through our real estate department. And that's where we pay our chief deputy. And she is currently at $51,005.90. And we're asking for $56,700, which is an increase of $5,694.10. Originally, I had sent in a request for $55,000 based off of the 2021 salary survey, but I did have to make some calls thereafter just to verify the information, which was a little confusing in some of the counties. So after making a phone call to the Saline Circuit Clerk and also Sebastian County Circuit Clerk, I discovered that they had broken up between County General and Recorder's Cost Fund, and I got some corrected numbers. So the average chief deputy salaries for Class 6 counties, I used Garland, Craighead, Saline, and Sebastian. Faulkner County's population is, I believe, this is from 2010 census, around 116,000 people. So I used Sebastian, which is 125, Celine, which is 107, Craighead, which is 96,443, and Garland, which is 96,024. I typically don't use White and Jefferson. They're around 77,000 population, quite a bit smaller than we are. So I typically tend to throw those out, but in this instance, I could have used Jefferson because they pay their chief deputy over $55,000 a year now, according to the 2021 survey, but I did not use that. So I've got an average of 55,571.25, but I would like to mention a few things about my chief deputy. She has been serving our county for 26 years this year. And I think if we looked at the experience that she offers Faulkner County, that's invaluable to us, I would say she's probably worth more than an extra $1,000 over the average. But I'm trying to be conservative with the number. You'll even see, like, in Saline County, they've somehow managed to get theirs up to $68,000 a year. And I wish we could do that, but you know, I know this is where we're at, and so I'm trying to be fair to her, and I know she appreciates everything she gets. I brought this up. She did not. You'll also see that in a lot of these Class 6 counties, which have populations smaller than ours, have a lot more deputies to handle criminal court, domestic court, juvenile court, civil court, jury, child support, real estate. These are all the things that our office does, and she's my right hand. When I'm not there, she's making sure that all the staff is in their places and doing the things that they need to do, as well as all of her daily items as well. I can always count on her, and Faulkner County is very fortunate to have Nancy Easom as our chief deputy for circuit clerk's office.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Taylor. And is there any questions from the committee?
Mr. Pearson, I have the same. This is Pickett.
Well, I waited a little longer this time just to make sure, so you go ahead.
I have the same concerns on 18 and 19 as I have on some of the earlier sections about the salary survey. And since we're there, and I have the same concerns from the sheriff's office, OEM, and the circuit clerk.
I understand. And we do have one more. Section 19 will be from the county clerk's office.
Which mine is almost duplicate of Crystal, so he's probably going to have the same concern as well.
Just pick it, you still have the floor.
I missed that conversation. What, Margaret?
I said mine's almost duplicate of Crystal's, so you'll probably have the same concern.
So, Justice Pickett, Section 19, which we are on Section 18 right now, but Section 19 will be a similar request from the county clerk's office. So that will be the last actual raise request part of the discussion.
Mr. Pearson, then I'll, since my concerns address all of the departments, I'll make a motion that this ordinance be tabled so that we can work out the differences during the next month, and that we take this up again in the personnel meeting in June.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor to table the ordinance. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second to table this. I'm going to open up this motion for discussion just real quick to Margaret, since you're still in the room and haven't had a chance to make your case. Is there anything you would like to say before we call the question on this motion just so I give you equal treatment?
Well, basically what I would say would be duplicate of what Crystal has to say, other than I pulled out Garland County because Garland County does, the county clerk in Garland County does not do payroll or HR services, or does she do elections and all the stuff that my office has to do. And also one thing that Crystal didn't mention, from our 2019 numbers, Faulkner County is less than 600 employees, I mean, not employees, but in people of being the largest class six county. So we're just 600 away in population of being the largest county in this class six. So we're above Saline, we're on the heels of Sebastian. We're way above Craighead County. We're not, but about 2,500 above Saline County, which, you know, across the board, all their employees make more than ours, including the elected officials. So that's what I'd have to add.
Thank you, Margaret. I appreciate that. And at this point, I'll return to the motion on the floor. There's a motion and a second to table ordinance 2116 to our future meeting. Any discussion on the motion?
I would like to discuss it. I don't know why, since this is a personnel committee meeting, that we can't discuss the issues and work them out tonight. I don't see where there's enough wrong. I mean, I've taken the average and I've pulled Faulkner County out. I do my salary surveys like this every year, and we have never had any issue with them before. So I would like to know what the issue is and see if we can work it out tonight, Justice Pickett.
The chairman, Mr. Chairman, has called for a discussion about the motion.
That is about the motion.
So, Ms. Taylor, your question is noted. If Justice Pickett would like to respond, he may feel free to do so. Otherwise, the floor is still open for discussion on the motion.
I'll respond to Ms. Taylor. We can't do the arithmetic and amend the ordinance tonight.
Okay, any other discussion from members of the committee on the motion?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is Justice Knight. Would it be better if we just sent it to Budget and Finance so they could really work and massage the numbers and not slow the ordinance down at all? And I don't have a problem with tabling it, but if it's going to go to Budget and Finance anyways, why not send it there right now so it goes there in June?
Fair enough. Justice Pickett, would you care to comment on Justice Knight's recommendation?
Well, yes, I think that next month we'll probably try to do the personnel committee meeting before the budget and finance, so this can be advanced to the budget committee and get it to the budget committee in May, in June.
Okay. So you're not interested in withdrawing the motion? You want to keep, I mean, there's a motion and a second. We're not going to withdraw it at this point. So we're just still having discussion on the motion. Is that all, Justice Pickett? Is that all the comment you would like to make?
Yes, I'm through.
Okay. Any other comment on the motion from the committee to table ordinance 2116? Hearing none, I will ask the secretary to call the roll. Yes.
I guess I don't understand when you're going to allow the audience to make some comments also.
Well, since we are going to table, the motion on the floor is to table this. The discussion is not entirely over, so comments from the audience will come at a later date. So, Madam Secretary, if you'll please call the roll.
Why couldn't we have a comment on the motion even?
Pickett,
yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Kendricks.
No.
Pearson.
Pearson votes yes. The ayes have it. The ordinance is tabled for a future meeting. There are no other items on our agenda. Is there any other business before the committee?
I would like to ask a question if I might. Could I ask a question?
I'm just limiting to this to committee members at this point. Is there any other business before the committee from committee members?
We'll be able to get the motion right.
Okay, hearing none, I will open it up to any announcements from the audience. So, Crystal, if you're Ms. Taylor, if you'd like to speak, go ahead.
Okay, my question is, since this has been taken off the table for personnel, this is the month of May is the month we are supposed to come up with our personnel salary increase request. If this is postponed till June, that means that we will not be able to get raises for our employees because we will be breaking the ordinance.
Ms. Taylor, if I may interject, actually, that's not accurate. My understanding is, and the counselor can weigh in on this, is that requests are to be made to the committee by May. But there's nothing in the actual ordinance that says that we have to vote on this in May. So we can take this up at a later date. You guys just have to get your request in by May or September. Counselor, if you'd like to weigh in.
Right. I think what Mr. Pearson has accurately stated, just if this issue is tabled, it would not mean that your employee or employees would not get a raise this year. It is simply you've rung the bell, you've notified the quorum court that you want a raise for an employee. It's now up to the quorum court to decide whether they want to approve that or not, but it doesn't mean that it's delayed for an indefinite time period.
Does that satisfy your concern, Ms. Taylor?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any other comments, questions, or general announcements from the public?
I have a comment.
Whoever said that, you're recognized.
My name is Jack Sunlow, and I am a boarder here in Faulkner County.
If you would please approach a microphone.
I would be more than happy to do so. It seems to me that what happened here tonight was a personnel committee that decided it was going to be a budget and finance committee. Your arguments against everything that was brought up, Mr. Pickett, have to do with the money, have to do with the formula, and not with the justification of the individuals as to whether their people are doing a job that deserves an increase. So you decided what you were going to do, and you did it, which is what you always do, Mr. Pickett. You have yet to once sit down and reasonably talk to any of these people, especially law enforcement, about increases.
Excuse me, whoever is speaking, please address members of this committee and this court with respect.
Be
cautious of your tone, or I will yield the floor back from you.
Well, you know, you can say that, but you're sitting there, you don't even come to meetings anymore, and then you
okay.
sit there.
You're done. Anybody else from the general public have any comments, questions, or concerns?
I have one comment, if I may. This is Angie Woolley, again, with the Faulkner
Yes, Ms. Woolley, you are recognized.
What I would like to ask of you as the chairman, and then also as Justice Pickett, if our documents are sent out prior to the meeting and the committee members have a few days to view these documents and analyze them prior to. They also have our phone numbers, our email addresses. Why are these concerns not brought up before this meeting so that way we can try to address them and come up with answers prior to the meeting? I thought that was the reason why we submitted the documentation in enough time for this to be reviewed and us discuss it between a member and ourselves. I know I've received phone calls from you just this week and also in prior meetings from other committee members about questions of ordinances before. And then my second question is, if there is a standard for a salary survey based on our personnel committee or the budget and finance committee of Faulkner County or of the state of Arkansas or someone, why are we not told that that is the standard and this is the process and we are to stick to this process? Last time I checked AAC's website, the 2021 data was not listed. I don't know when it was listed, but I believe it was sometime within the last couple of weeks because I just checked it not too terribly long ago, or I would have already updated this information, and I would have loved for someone to have already pointed that out to me within the last week because it was known by at least one of these committee members.
that the data was out there, and it was not just, I could have brought you new data tonight, and we wouldn't have had to table this. And other department heads possibly would not have had to. We could have updated this already.
Any other comments, questions, or general concerns from the members of the public in attendance? At this point, I'm going to limit it to just, you know, general comments. We're done discussing 2116 and just any other announcements. If not, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Excuse me, sir. I'd like to speak. My name is Elizabeth Sotolero. I'm a voter in Faulkner County, and I'm a long-term watcher of the county quorum court and also reporter from Faulkner County Reports. I would agree with what Ms. Woolley just said. We have seen several times over the last 3 or 4 years, especially with our sheriff's department, that salary surveys seem to be a stopping point on personnel and salary issues. And it only makes perfect sense that if our departments are going to be held to a standard, that standard should be published and given to the public so that everyone is aware and working from the same platform. I would second what Ms. Woolley said. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes.
I think I heard somebody. Did I hear somebody?
Mr. Pearson, I'm Mrs. Gregory. I'm Peggy Gregory.
Yes, Ms. Gregory, please approach your microphone.
I think I'm at one right now. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So my comments during this meeting tonight, first of all, I would have said that all departments that came asking for money showed us that they are already underpaid compared to likewise positions in other counties. And I compliment them for making all those good comparisons. I always feel as if the sheriff's department, the safety, needs to be given more attention. The dispatchers, you know, are so very much needed. I also want to compliment the OEM department, as Mr. Allison did, that they were able to take on additional responsibility, and responsibility that will then save the county some time. I was kind of curious to know as to what their situation was that suddenly they had that time. Were there some other things that they had been taking care of that they no longer needed to do? And then I would comment that some questions being more fully answered during this time seems to me would have been good information for all the justices that are involved in making these final decisions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gregory. Anybody else? If you've already spoken, I'm going to limit it to anybody who hasn't spoken.
I just have one more piece of information. I think, you know, would be valuable if you don't mind.
Hey, I will get to you. I'm just going to yield to anyone who has not spoken yet first. Is there anybody in the room who has not spoken that would like to?
I don't think so, Justice Pearson.
Thank you, Counselor. And then whoever it is that would like to speak again, please go ahead. Now, please approach a microphone.
Okay.
Apologies for interrupting you.
That's right. So, since it's been presented to us that we've made a miscalculation with our averages, I went ahead and double-checked because I used a program in Excel, which figures averages for you. So I thought, okay, well, I went to college. I can figure it without the program. So, how to calculate an average. The average of a set of numbers is simply the sum of numbers divided by the total number of values in the set. In my set of numbers, there are 4 sets of numbers. You add them all up. You divide them by the 4 sets of numbers, and the average is correct. So, I feel like the averages are correct, and I don't know where there's an issue there.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Taylor. At this point, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. Hearing none, we will stay here forever. So we have a motion, and do I have a second?
Second.
We have a second. All right, the committee is adjourned.